Welcome to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show on this Tuesday noontime with Matt Trent and I'm John Coffey. And Matt, we got a good show on end again this week. We talk a lot of basketball, but also a little bit overall with the training aspect of things, as Kelly Quinlan will be joining us, the head athletic trainer at Northwest Missouri State. So I think it's going to be a well-balanced show here today with a lot of good things coming up.
Yeah, it's exciting to see the basketball finally getting into full swing with the women's game on Thursday, then the men's season opener not coming until Saturday when they play that doubleheader with Rogers State. But exciting to see that. Also, Nick Gibson, cross-country coach, joining in after the D2 National Invitational over the weekend. The women's team for Northwest taking third in that. So it should be a fun afternoon.
It certainly should. We'll be back and get started with our interviews right after this timeout on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Pitzenberger Auto Body in Maryville, providing auto collision repair and taking the dents out of accidents. Pitzenberger's also installs Ultimate Truck Bedliners. More at 660-582-4599 or pitsautobody.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, celebrating more than 150 years of service to Northwest Missouri. More information on location or at nvb.com. Member FDIC.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Rogers Pharmacy in Maryville, St. Joe, Mound City, and Tarkio. The Rogers family has been providing Northwest Missouri families with pharmacy services, medical supplies, and home medical equipment since 1967. More online at rogersrx.com. Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanware as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Delbert's Garage at 714 North Depot in Maryville. Delbert and his team handle car and truck repairs from brakes and air conditioners to replacing engines and transmissions. More at 660-562-0025.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back to the Bearcat Coaches Show. Now sitting down with Kylie Coleman, a Northwest Missouri State senior on the women's basketball team. And Kylie, it's been a long wait. We probably should have had a couple non-conference games already by now, but finally have actual regular season basketball and competition coming up. This has to feel pretty good for you to, we're not quite over the hurdle yet, but we're getting a little bit closer to be able to having, not COVID gone, but kind of getting through this and seeing some Bearcat basketball again.
Yeah, it's great. We're obviously sad that we couldn't have the non-conference games and get those under our belts, but we're playing and that's about all we could ask for at this point.
How much of a hurdle is that? How different is it to go in? I mean, every game's meaningful, obviously, but to go straight into MIAA games, how hard is that to not have some of that non-conference to kind of get your legs back under you and a feel for those games?
Yeah, it's definitely difficult because we're used to that. For the past 3 years, that's exactly what we've had. So to go straight into conference games and knowing that our conference has tremendous talent, it's hard, but we've also been playing so much in practice. Meyer's been making sure that we're scrimmaging. We mix the teams up all the time, so we've been playing in that case, but playing together and against other people is completely different. So,
having those scrimmages in practice and going against other players in green and white, but still running up and down the floor, I mean, does that give you a chance to kind of crank that intensity level up to what it will need to be on Thursday night?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I think these are the most competitive scrimmages that we've had since I've been here. The willingness to compete and the willingness that nobody wants to lose on that court, because we know if you lose, you're going to run. So right then and there, we don't want to lose. So we've been competing really well, and I'm super excited for Thursday.
Bearcat women's basketball opening up the season Thursday night in Tahlequah, Oklahoma, against Northeastern State. You mentioned that competitiveness within practices and the scrimmage and what you have going on amongst your team. Take me back 3 or 4 years to where you're a freshman just coming in and now as a senior. How has that competition level changed, and not just the level of play from everybody, but also just kind of that competitive nature within the team?
Yeah, freshman year, it was kind of difficult because freshman year adapting to so many things at that point, whereas now I'm senior, I've been through it. I know the teams, I know the girls, I know the coaches, so I understand the process of everything, so that just gives me a boost, and then I can then help the underclassmen, like our freshmen and our sophomores that are just going to be on the court for the first time this year. So I just think having 6 seniors that have been through it are going to help in the long run more than I could have had, because we didn't have that when I came in. So,
whenever you came to Northwest Missouri State from Waukee, Iowa, very good in high school, a 2015 Iowa State champ, a winning background, a winning tradition coming in all of a sudden to a program that's rebuilding and trying to get to this point now to where we could come in and any given night we're going to knock off an MIAA team. Is it hard going from that level in high school of we're built to win to now coming to Northwest and we're just going to get this thing slowly step by step up?
Yeah, it's difficult. In high school, there was never a game where we were like, oh my goodness, like we are not expecting to win this by however many points. But here it's different, but I almost like it because we're building and I can see the progress. So we've gotten more wins every single year. So progress, but not where we want it to be. We're picked the highest we've been picked in quite a few years now to finish. We don't want to finish that high up. We'd like to finish top five, whatever. But, I mean, it's difficult because I'm not used to losing and I hate losing. Like, I'm one of the most competitive people on the team. So to know that these people this year are just like me just helps a lot because nobody wants to lose, and I don't think we're going to allow that to happen nearly as much as the past couple of years.
And having that experience and having, you know, you took those lumps early on, probably easier now too with some true freshmen coming in saying, hey, we've been through this. This is what it's going to take to win in this conference.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think we have Molly coming in, who's a true freshman, and then we have Emma, who was a redshirt freshman last year. Those two are just as competitive as me, so I don't think the whole losing-winning thing is going to be a problem. I just think we're just going to compete to our best ability, and that's never going to be a question.
For as much as you just want to focus on basketball, obviously COVID-19 is looming. How do you approach your senior season with that still in the background?
It's hard. I think it's more so you just take it one day at a time. And we have testing on Mondays, so Mondays we find out. We all tested negative, so that's great. And now it's, okay, well, we took care of our business. Did the other teams take care of theirs? And if they did, then it's solely focused on just this week and those games, and then we'll hit the next games when they come. So very slow, taking baby steps, that's for sure.
In the crowds, even whenever it's, I think at Northwest, just expecting family for these December games and in Northeastern, maybe some folks as well, but not nearly the crowds you're used to. Is that a bit of a change kind of going in and just having to create your own energy every night?
Yeah, it's going to be difficult just because it's fun when you see your friends and all those people in the stands, but at least we get to have our families. That's better than having nobody. But the good thing is Meyer is huge about energy. That's the one thing we bring to every practice, everything we do, weights, conditioning, no matter what. We have more energy than I've ever seen on any team. So I don't think we're going to have any problems with that. Our bench is going to be just fine. So
with COVID-19 around and knowing that, well, you know, someone tests positive, either team, that could shut down a game, that has to be rescheduled, and a lot to figure out, is there an urgency to stack wins early in the season?
Oh, for sure, because the beginning is what we know is pretty much guaranteed right now, because we know we probably have two guaranteed games this week. We have no clue what's guaranteed after that. So getting as many wins as you can right away is going to be big because we don't even know if we'll be able to make up all those games that do get canceled. So you just got to take what you can get.
We're talking Bearcat basketball with senior guard Kylie Coleman heading into this season, the first game coming up on Thursday against Northeastern State. A season ago, the most wins that Northwest has had since, 2012, 2013 has been quite a while getting up to 12, but still at times struggling to score. Does it feel like watching your teammates in practice and coming along yourself your senior year that this is going to be one of the better offensive teams the Bearcats have had in a while?
Oh, yeah, I think so. We obviously struggle still at times, but I don't think it's anything like the past 3 years that we've had where we're in droughts and we can't close out games. I think we've been much better at that. We just scrimmaged Pitt, and I didn't think we had hardly any problem scoring. We missed a couple easy things and missed some shots that we could have had, but no, I don't think that's going to be a problem, and I think we're going to be able to put lots of full games together this year, which is super exciting.
And on given nights, sometimes the shots just won't fall. But that defense, that effort can always be there, and something Coach Meyer talks about. How's that coming along as you slowly kind of ramp up toward the first game?
Yeah, defense, we started out, we weren't very good at the start of the year with all that time off, but we're definitely making big leaps, and I know everyone's working hard. That's our main focus these past couple weeks is just solely defense, 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 because our offense was looking great, and we're like, well, our offense looks great because our defense isn't very good, and now it's more of a mix of both. So, yeah, if the shots don't fall, I think we're going to be just fine on the defensive end because that's Meyer's favorite thing.
So wrapping up your college career coming up, heading into your senior year, and we say senior guard Kylie Coleman, but can we also say like lead walkie recruiter because Peyton Rao comes in, she's a true freshman last year. Now we have the Kilderman twins coming in from Waukee. I mean, you got that pipeline going now.
Yeah, and our new high school up in Waukee is Waukee Northwest, so I think it's just all mending together now.
Well, Kylie, we appreciate you coming on the show. Good luck this upcoming season, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you.
Kylie Coleman, Bearcat guard. We will take a timeout and be back with more on the Bearcat Radio Network.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Millen Dinsdale Seed Company in Maryville and Oregon. Representing Golden Harvest Corn and NK Soybeans, Millen Dinsdale reminds you that there are no practice fields in farming. More at MillenDinsdaleSeed.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Cell, located at 1218 South Main in Maryville. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell carries a full line of iPhones, iPads, and Androids. More information on plans and devices is at NWMCell.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries within the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Prinery House, or at conceptionabbey.org.
Today's game is brought to you by the Estates of Maryville, a vintage cooperative presenting adults 55 and better in inside-outside maintenance-free individual home ownership and active lifestyle within a new development off Icon Road in Maryville. More information is at vintagecooperatives.com.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors on South Main in Maryville. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 582-8800. Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in-store at pizzaranch.com.
Joined now on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show by Northwest Missouri State Head Athletic Trainer Kelly Quinlan. And Kelly, I know you always love coming to the show and doing these interviews, it's such a bizarre year. We're finally back into it. We're getting to talk a little bit about Northwest Missouri State basketball and winter sports on the horizon with indoor track and field as well. Yeah. It has to feel good from your perspective, at least, that we're close. We're almost there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just excited for the student athletes because they've had quite a last 6 months. And I think that it's really important for them to, you know, be together and to be able to compete and to be able to do what they love to do, and not just be in the weight room and, you know, just practice. I think the competition part of it is huge for them. So I think I'm excited for them. I hope that it all goes down. So,
well, you train throughout the year and throughout the off season to get to a point to be ready for games, and it kind of takes on a different toll on your body. Is there any worry, I guess, going into it of, all right, we've been having this off-season training for the last 6 months, so now we need to shift to games, that now games are taken away, so now we're shifting back more to an off-season mode. You kind of think about for a football perspective, do you have to change up the kind of things that they're doing, like with Joe down in the weight room and what you're doing to make sure that we're not overworking them in a certain way that's not in that game type they'd be into right now?
We had to do a lot of that, especially for the summer, because so much of that wasn't the same as normal, right? I would say it affects the fall sports way more than it does the winter sports, because the winter sports really start their training. I mean, they do some in the summer, but they do a lot of it once school starts. So I would say those fall sports are where, you know, and we had some injuries in the fall, you know, and I would say that was pretty consistent amongst most institutions and most schools in athletics, that probably more soft tissue things and, you know, just having their body not quite being as ready as they normally are just because they are not training the same. So I think that they're ready to go if you know, if that's the question. You know what I mean? Like, they are. They're ready. I think mentally, sometimes that's the biggest piece of it, right? And so I think if they're ready mentally, that kind of sometimes overrides the physicality part. But, no, I think the winter sports, I think they've had some good training this fall, and I think they're ready to go.
I think it was back in mid-March. We're at the MIAA Tournament Championship game, and during that men's basketball game, you hear about that first case that's of COVID-19 mm-hmm. in Kansas City, and we're like, huh. Wonder what this is going to mean for the upcoming week with the NCAA tournament, which ended up getting wiped out. When did you kind of get that feeling like, uh-oh, we might be in trouble for fall sports even coming up?
I think in July we had a big number of cases, you know, of cases. And so that's where I was like, I don't know how this is going to roll, because that all kind of happened in just like a week span. And so that shut down our teams for a while. And I think that's when everyone started really questioning whether this was going to happen or not. But everybody's gotten a good handle on it and they're managing it well. And I think everyone's working really hard. I'm really proud of the student athletes because they really are making good decisions. I mean, we really feel that all around. As far as outside, we can only control what we can control here in our facilities. But outside the facilities, I really think they're working hard at doing what they can to mitigate and to prevent things from happening, you know, from getting COVID, if that's even possible to prevent that totally, you know. I would say that it was interesting when we went to scrimmage. I obviously work with the women's basketball team. When we went to scrimmage at Pitt, a couple of the girls were like, this is just weird. Like, they felt almost not dirty, like Pitt's dirty, but just like weird because they're like so used to just being together, just them, you know, and even in their own homes, you know, and stuff. But so I think it was just hard for them to kind of get used to the fact that, wow, I can be around other people a little bit here, you know, and so, and that's not my team, so.
Kelly, if you want to say that Pitt is dirty, we're not going to condemn you on this show.
Oh, come on.
Well, so on that note, not about Pittsburgh State being dirty, but Ben talked during the MIAA media day, Ben McComb, about, you know what, we're going to do everything we can, talk to the kids. At some point, though, someone's just going to get it. We're not going to vilify them. We're just going to say, we're going to work with you and get through it. For as much as you can do everything you can, from wearing a mask to cleaning your hands to staying away from people, sometimes it's inevitable that you're going to find a way to get it, and you really can't look down upon these kids or coaches or anybody that gets it because that's the state that we're in right now.
Oh, not at all. Yeah, I mean, it's just so running rampant, and I think anyone can get it any time, and you never know exactly where you're getting it from. So you just do what you can to mitigate. You do what you can to prevent. You do what you can to manage it and to take good care of yourself. You know, we talk about the things that we're telling people to do other than obviously the mask wearing, obviously the social distancing. I mean, everything else is something that we just do. You know, we try to tell people to prevent getting sick. I mean, obviously we're getting into flu season right now, right? And so everything that we're telling them, we tell them every year, you know, with regards to trying to do everything we can to prevent being sick and just taking care of yourself and good hygiene and things like that. So it's bound to happen. Definitely don't want to demean anyone or make anyone feel bad about it. It's a process. And so then we have a process to follow when it does happen. And everyone's doing it and they're following it and it's going okay.
From spring, summer into the fall, has the approach changed at all from initially, all right, this is what we're getting into, this is what we have to do? Has anything changed as we've gone through?
I would just tell you that, you know, really it's just a matter of just communicating. I think the communication is so much better now than maybe it was. Like when we started this, it was all about education, and it's about, you guys have to understand, do not show up to our facilities if you're not feeling well. You call us right away. We're going to manage what we need to do. What are the next steps? Because you show up, you could expose someone else. So much of it is just the education piece of it, and I think that the kids understand what that means, and I think they're doing a good job of that. Obviously, we're doing symptom checks, temperature checks daily, making sure, you know, people that are walking in don't have the symptoms, but we don't even want them here if they have symptoms, right? So we hope they don't even show up. I mean, because that's everybody we're testing, nobody's having, you know, the majority, I don't think we've had a positive, like someone with a temperature, you know what I mean, or symptoms necessarily walk in to our facility because they're told not to, you know. And so I think the biggest thing is that piece and just trying to do everything we can to prevent, you know, the spread. So
overwhelming at all having to kind of deal with that while also your normal day-to-day job of keeping students safe and injury-free?
That's probably one of the hardest things for us. And I have to commend my staff. I mean, they have done a tremendous job, again, with the education piece and doing all the testing and doing all those things. But, yeah, we have to kind of understand that, like, there's a lot of other stuff that comes to our job with regards to just taking care of the injuries and taking care of the mental health piece of it too, right? Because that's really something that, you know, is on the you know, docket with everybody right now. You know, we're all thinking about that piece of it. And I think that's something that, you know, we as a staff try to manage as well. So it's been a lot, but we're doing good. We're doing fine.
So there have obviously been student athletes that have it because everybody's kind of gone through in every department that's seen it. Do you see the student athletes that are in tip top shape at that age? Are people bouncing back quickly, or does it take a little bit of time to get to what they should be 100%.
Yeah, I would say a little time. So like our return to play protocol, we actually just reduced it a little bit because some studies are showing that we're not really seeing as severe cardiac issues as we were, that we thought we might have. And so, it was like almost like a 20, I would say minimum 21 to 25 day return to play once you test positive. And by the time they're in isolation and then they're symptom free for a certain amount of days, then they do the return to play protocol with us. We kind of reduce that where we take in kind of that 7 days, off. So it's about about 14-day return. But that return-to-play protocol is vital. Like, as we're going through that with athletes, you can tell those first couple days, and we not only test them physically, but, like, we ask them those questions. How confident do you feel getting back into activity? And it's amazing to see, day one, two isn't bad because it's pretty low-key. Then they get to day three, like, whoa, you know what I mean? And then they get to day four, five, six, and they start feeling more confident because, okay, I'm going to be okay. But I think that they don't know what to expect, and so they, need to just kind of push through that. But I think it's so important to have that return to play window so that they kind of gain that confidence back and feel better about it. So they are coming back fine. They're doing okay. But I do think that it's got to be a progression, just like if they were hurt, right? We're going to progress them back into stuff. I'm not just going to throw them in day one because all of a sudden I walk in feeling 100%, right? And so progression is really key in this situation as well.
Do you ever call up any of your professors from back when you're in school and say, of all the things you taught me how to do and got me prepared for, one thing wasn't a once-a-century pandemic. So
it was definitely – I was not prepared for that. I don't think anyone in this world was prepared for this. So
yeah, it's been wild. But we appreciate you coming on the show. We appreciate all the work you're doing with Northwest student-athletes and getting everybody ready, hoping for a full basketball and winter sports season.
Yes, let's do it.
Kelly Quinlan, head Northwest athletic trainer. We'll take a timeout. Back with more on KXCV KRNW.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Bomley Auto Sales. Bearcat alumnus Joe Bomley has been providing late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs since 1983. More at BomleyAuto.com or on the lot at 5 Mile Corner south of Maryville.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Northwest Missouri Regional Credit Union, serving residents and employees in Nottoway, Andrew, Atchison, Holt, and Worth counties, Northwest alumni in 19 school districts across the area. Northwest Missouri Regional Credit Union, today, tomorrow, together.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Losh Optometry. Serving Maryville and the surrounding area, Dr. Ryan Losh and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses, including progressive and bifocal lenses, contacts, and sunglasses. More information is available at 660-241-5001.
Today's game is being underwritten by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student-athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show as we continue on, talking now with a senior off the Bearcat men's basketball team and Ryan Hawkins. And Hawk, it's been an off season like none other for you, I would imagine, as you prepare for the season and the way the last season ended, and then going into all this. It's been just kind of a bizarre 2020, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's been a lot different than normal, but I feel like as a team, we've still found ways to get better and kind of have a sense of normalcy through it all. And we start basketball this week, and it's been a lot longer of an off season, that's for sure, compared to the previous years. But the excitement's still there to play this week.
Well, let's go back to March, first of all, and just after winning the MIAA postseason tournament, the excitement out of winning that, and then looking toward getting into the NCAA tournament play, and then all of a sudden that got halted due to COVID. Just kind of go from the feeling you had at that particular point where you're really on the top of the world, ranked number one in the nation that time, and looking for maybe a repeat as a national champion, and how the team was able to get past the disappointment or not being able to play on from that juncture.
Yeah, we win Sunday afternoon in KC. It's always fun down in Kansas City, and then come back to Maryville and we get Monday off, and we're thinking, okay, we got a week to gear up for this. We're getting ready. We're going through our scout, and Sunday after the game, I don't think anybody had any vision of that happening this quickly and having everything canceled by Thursday. But Thursday in the middle of practice, the regional director walked in and, told us it wasn't going to happen. And in 3 days time, literally everything changed for us. We'd been working more than just that year, but for a year at least, just for that moment. And, the regular season's fun and everything, but, it's not the NCAA tournament. It's different. It's a different beast, and that's what we were all ready for and all prepared for, and just to have that kind of ripped away from us kind of sucked. And then, you go home, you don't get to see any of your friends anymore, and you still see people down on the beach and stuff having a fun time on spring break. It's like, okay, something's wrong here. Like, it was frustrating, but, still found a way to get better this summer. And, you know, now that we're back on campus with the guys, it's kind of starting to feel normal again.
What did you have to do this summer that was a little bit different as far as training for this year to try to remain healthy and still make some progress that you wanted to make?
We really couldn't be in Maryville much at all to work out. So, I'm very fortunate being from a local hometown. You know, Atlantic's awesome in that regard. I had people, family, friends offering me, you know, the hoop in their driveway. Had an old coach of mine, J.C. Hoig. He just built a new shop for his farm, and he put a sport court down in it and two college goals on each end. And so that's where I went and shot every day. Couldn't get into the high school to shoot or anything like that. So that was a little different this summer, but still found time to get away and get to the lake quite a bit. So I wasn't too upset about that part of it.
What about the mental aspect of just being away from your teammates when you're trying to, work on your game and things, but just not having the closeness with the teammate, not only what you can do on the court, but just off the court and the things that go on with that. How did you maybe handle that aspect of the strangeness of this summer?
Yeah, those relationships are the best part about college basketball. Yeah, it's fun to compete and everything, but it's the fact that you get to do it with some of your best friends. That's what's awesome about it for me. And, you know, normally you get 11 months out of the year with them, and we normally get, you know, July off to kind of do our own thing. And after that month off, it's like, okay, I miss these guys. I'm ready to be back around them. And, you know, right away when we got back on campus this August, that camaraderie was still there. And I think it made everyone even more excited for this opportunity just because we knew how hard it was going to be.
You guys do a lot of FaceTime and Zoom and things during the offseason just to keep in touch?
Oh, yeah. I think the first time the freshmen hopped on a Zoom call with us this year, they were kind of wondering what did they get themselves into. But no, it was all fun. You get Coach McCollum on Zoom talking. It's pretty funny.
So kind of like that Saturday Night Live bit. I don't know if you had a chance to see that when they came back and did a kind of a Zoom type of parody of office meetings and things.
Yeah, it was very similar to that.
Well, now that you had a chance to get back on campus and go through a workouts, anything different as far as the actual workout routine and practices that from what you've experienced in the past, or were they able to keep things pretty much normal?
You know, our lifting times were a lot different this fall during preseason just because of the demand to get in the weight room by everybody on campus, which is a great problem to have. But, that resulted in us, I think it was Wednesday nights or Tuesday nights, one of the two, we lifted at 9 o'clock at night. And so, that was when the NBA finals were going on. So we'd watch some of the playoff games and then, go to the Har Center downstairs and there'd be the projector on when we'd get done. With the workout, we'd watch the NBA games and stuff. It'd be 11 o'clock before we'd get home, and it was kind of fun just because it was later at night and get some of those night owls on the team a chance to sleep in. I'm sure they enjoyed that. But other than that, I felt like we kept everything pretty much the same. Coach Mack is still a different beast at 5 a.m., but other than that, no, it's been pretty normal.
One aspect of this, too, when you look at your roster, so many guys have been together for a number of years now. Do you think the fact that it's, for the most part, an experienced group, has that helped you go through the different things and adjust just because you guys are such an experienced group and have been around each other so much?
Yeah, I think that made it a lot easier, especially for the freshmen, too. Just because of all the uncertainty, we have three seniors this year, and then Trevor and Diego are great leaders, both as juniors. And to have that, five guys to come in right away and look up to, I think that makes it a lot easier for the freshmen to transition in. And then I think, too, that, McCollum knows that we understand the level that he needs us to be at every day, and I think we have a very good understanding of that, and it makes it a lot easier. He doesn't have to motivate us the way I think he would with a younger team, but I think most mornings we'd show up for preseason and we'd know what the workout is and he wouldn't have it made up yet. It's just, he's a creature of habit. Every year it's pretty much the same order for everything. But I think just the experience that we have and everybody coming back, that we did have a very good understanding of his expectations, especially in a pandemic.
Now, the NCAA has ruled that everyone that's involved with winter sports this year gets an extra year of eligibility coming up for next year. Not to put you on the spot here, but as a senior this year, are you looking down the line for maybe coming back and taking advantage of that?
I mean, it's hard to leave Maryville. I love this place.
Well, that is true. That's true.
Yeah, it's very hard to leave this place. I love it. I mean, I feel like everybody here expects me to stay, so why not?
But when you look at the roster, if all you guys stay together in the group that is coming in this year as freshmen, it ought to be a heck of a couple-year run here for you guys.
Yeah, I feel sorry for Coach Mack having to deal with me for an extra year maybe, but I think with the pieces we have here, man, it's gonna be a fun few years, especially given the talent of our freshman class this year.
And as you had a chance to scrimmage with those guys now, how much fun has that been to kind of bring them into the fold? And what are you seeing that they can bring to this team?
Oh, they're an athletic bunch. They're all bouncy. They're all fast. And they've all got a great work ethic, which is very rare to see in a freshman class of four, to have four guys that can step in right away and not really skip a beat. That's very nice as a senior when you don't have to kind of get on guys. But, you know, they make my life easier just by showing up every day and competing.
And do they push you guys a little bit harder too, some of the experienced guys in the program?
Yeah, I would say so. Like I said, I think we're a very easily motivated group. I don't think we need to have that external motivation. I think it all comes within the 13 guys we have on roster, which I think might be the biggest roster size I've had since I've been here. So it's nice to have a couple extra bodies at practice, too.
I bet so. And now as you look ahead toward this weekend, opening up the regular season, supposed to open up on Thursday. That's been moved back to Saturday due to Northeastern State having some COVID cases, and you get a chance to spend New Year's Eve in Tahlequah, Oklahoma, which I'm sure you're looking forward to as they reschedule that. But you have to wait just a couple more days longer than what the women's team does to open up the season. You head down to Rogers State and just kind of talk about getting ready for the opener of this season.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of that uncertainty this season. I think that's where we'll have a little bit of an advantage, just because, you know, we show up to practice every day with the mindset of we've got to get to that high level. We've got to be at the game pace every day in practice. That, you know, we show up on Monday, you get told our game on Thursday is canceled. All right, just switch focus to Saturday. So, yeah, it's two extra days of sitting there wishing you could play basketball. But I think you just have to have that mindset every day that, you know, with all the uncertainty going on, just take what you can get and make the best of it.
Yeah, I imagine patience and flexibility have to be kind of a mindset mentally as well as what you have to do physically right now with the COVID situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that just means you've got to focus more on yourself and on your team and what you're doing every day in practice, because you can't, you know, you can't throw up a scout for Tahlequah now that we've been working on. And, you know, Northeastern's on New Year's Eve now, so that's out the window. So now you got to turn your attention to Rogers State. And, you know, by focusing on yourself leading up to that, that puts your team in the best position for that week coming up, and not necessarily prepping for a scout.
You feel good about where the team is right now gearing up for the season opener?
Oh, absolutely I do. I think this is the longest it's been since I played basketball, but, man, Marsh seems so far away now, especially that first weekend. But, man, the excitement's there. I think everyone's itching to get going. We finally had two scrimmages last week. Those both went very well for us. I think everyone's ready to go and finally play somebody, not us, every day in practice.
Now, as you look at your career at Northwest Missouri State, a couple of national championships, a chance to go and play well against Duke a couple of times. When you look at the various accomplishments you've had as an athlete, what stacks up more, the national championships or your summer City League softball title that you were able to come away with this summer?
Yeah, you know, I got to give a shout-out to my GM, Colin McDonough. I was sitting up in the coach's office one day this fall, and I got told I was playing slow pitch today, and I never played slow pitch before, but I played baseball in high school, so I was like, okay, it can't be that much different, can it? The ball's just a little bigger. And, you know, I think we battled through some adversity. We didn't play very well the second game of my short career, but, you know, we found a way to get the City League and the tournament both. Took home two different pieces of hardware this year. I was promised a trophy and got a plaque, so they'll have to be some lowered standards for next season, I think, now that I don't get a trophy. But, I mean, it was a pretty athletic group out there, I feel like, as far as the coaching department. I don't know why they needed me to win that, but...
So you're coming back to play basketball next year, or is the reason you're coming back is to have that extra year to play a little softball then?
I think slow pitch takes it right now. you know, Coach Meyer offered me a very aggressive off-season plan that, you know, we gotta figure it out how to swing the bat a little bit for slow pitch. But, I mean, how do you say no to opportunity to go back-to-back?
Well, that sounds like a heck of a deal to me. Ryan, again, thanks a lot for being with us on the show here today, and good luck on the upcoming season.
Thank you.
Again, Ryan Hawkins with us from the Bearcat men's basketball team. We'll be back and have more on the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, right after this timeout.
Today's game is underwritten by Clarinda Regional Health Center, offering support to Southwest Iowa and Northwest Missouri each day during times of uncertainty through emergency services and a local team of providers and nurses. More information at clarindahealth.com. Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Carlson Seed in Blanchard, Iowa. Carlson Seed's been family-owned since 1973 and distributes DeKalb Asgrow seeds, chemicals, precision planting products, and more. For more information, carlsonseed.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Maryville Forum. For over 150 years, the Forum has served the area with local news, sports, and information in print or online at maryvilleforum.com. More at 660-562-2424.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Gardner Family Dentistry on South Main in Maryville. Dr. Jeffrey Gardner and his staff specialize in treating the whole family with a variety of services, including general dentistry, crowns, implants, and more. Information available at MaryvilleSmiles.com.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors on South Main in Maryville. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at ChampionshipMotorsLLC.com or at 582-8800. Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at PizzaRanch.com.
Bearcat women's basketball set to open the season this upcoming Thursday in Tahlequah, Oklahoma against Northeastern State. Head women's basketball coach Austin Meyer joining us now. And coach, it has to feel good, man, that first game right around the corner and kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel almost of that first ball game's here.
Yeah, we're excited and got through our testing today and negative Monday, so that's a good thing for sure. And hopefully we can everything goes smooth on their end and we can hop on a bus on Wednesday and see what happens.
Certain traditions about college athletics that you love, and you have to love the newest one of just constantly getting tested.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like this morning, I've been trying to get scout ready and everything, but it's, you know, we're figuring out contact tracing and when do you take days off and all this stuff, which I will say this from a, you know, a medical and safety standpoint, we're doing everything in our power, our training staff, administration, to make sure we're following protocols. We're obviously, the goal is to get a negative test for multiple reasons. Number one, we don't want to contract the virus. Number two, we want to be able to play. So I get a little agitated when people say we shouldn't be playing sports, because I'm confident that, you know, our kids and these athletes are doing everything in their power to not get it, not spread it. And at the end of the day, that's the ultimate goal. So if they didn't have this, I think they'd still be smart enough to do what they needed to do. But this makes them, in my opinion, even more safe with everything.
We talked to Kelly Quinlan earlier in the show and asked her, you know, you have to take care of injuries and getting people well and rehab and all this other, but then COVID's just another layer of responsibility and so much more that goes into it. Coaching perspective has to be the same. It's not just, hey, X's and O's and our players. It's all this other stuff on top of it now.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, what days do you take off? You know, if you test on Monday, how we've been doing the last few weeks, well, you know, we make sure we take Saturday, Sunday off to make sure if somebody did get, you know, was positive, they didn't get contact trace, but also obviously so that they didn't spread it if they were positive. So there's just a lot that goes into it. you know, individual, doing a lot more individual stuff, where we're not having them all together. So how do we navigate that and make sure we're getting enough stuff in game prep wise during an individual workout? And I'm just thankful for our staff in Houston and our graduate assistants and student assistants that, they're able to get a lot of stuff done on the floor while we're, you know, I'm back trying to navigate that other stuff and working on scout and all that.
Every season, you usually get to go in and kind of prepare yourself with some non-conference games before getting into that MIAA slate. But having to dive right in this year with the adjusted schedule, Northeastern State on Thursday, is it hard to kind of flip that switch and ramp up the intensity immediately like this?
Yeah, I mean, I think from a preparation standpoint, it's a little different. We kind of pride ourselves on putting a lot of time into our scouting reports. And obviously, we can go off of last year. We know some personnel from last year, newcomers. You're going through JUCO film and trying to find stuff online to get a scouting report. So it's a little different that aspect. But from a playing standpoint, I think our kids will be ready. You know, we've played a lot in practice during preseason. Our practices so far. You know, we do our drills and our defensive system stuff, and then we. You know, for the last 45 minutes, hour of practice, we play. We play live, 5-on-5, controlled scrimmage. You know, we don't stop it a lot. We stat it all. And so I feel like we've been playing for a while, and hopefully that'll translate onto the actual game floor.
Is the increased scrimmaging just to try to get them kind of, I guess, in that quote-unquote game shape of what you would normally try to with some of those non-cons?
Yeah, we try. You know, you can condition all you want, but there's nothing like being in actual game shape. And I think it helps. You know, I don't – obviously with COVID, you know, there wasn't a lot of chance to play pickup games in the summer. And I think, you know, you play in the game. So, you know, I think if you over-drill stuff in practice, it doesn't always translate over to the actual game action. So we play a lot and try to evaluate and coach through film, and I think it's been a good thing for us.
So you said last week that it feels like the scoring's better, but you're also not pleased with the defense so far in practice. How do you rectify that, and have you seen things kind of come around a little bit in the last week?
Yeah, we have, and you know, we can't talk about it, but we did it. We were able to get a scrimmage in, and so it's a little bit easier when you can watch yourself compete against the other team. So well, it wasn't just bad defense or it wasn't just bad offense here or there. So we definitely did some good things in that scrimmage. I think we have gotten better defensively. We talked about, yeah, offensively, we're improved from last year. We got, you know, more people that can score it. We got a really good playmaker in Molly Hartnett as a freshman. We had, you know, Emma Atwood, who we talked about last time, is a redshirt freshman for us that has been our, you know, second most efficient player during our entire preseason. So those things are definitely great that we got more kids that can score it and make some plays, and hopefully we can just keep getting better defensively and kind of see where we're at Thursday.
Turnovers per game improved for your team last year a little bit, took a tick down. Is that something, despite losing senior guards Kendi Eaton, Erica Schlosser, can continue with Molly Hartnett, a freshman, handling it more?
Yeah, definitely. You know, she's been really good in practice. You know, she's had 50 assists and 10 turnovers in practice. So she just takes care of it. She makes good decisions. She's got a really good feel for the game. You know, we were fortunate that we had single-digit turnovers in our scrimmage first time out, which was definitely a good thing to see. So if we can take care of it and get good shots, you know, we'll have a chance.
Last one for you, too. Rebounds per game went up last year from 26 to 29. Is that a trend we see continuing as you kind of coach them up on crashing the boards but also get more size?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, defensive rebounding, limiting offensive rebounds is the biggest thing for us. And, yeah, size definitely will help that. You know, for us, offensive rebounding, we want to get more of them. We want to get second chance points, but there's always that fight between, do you want to be really good in transition defense or do you want to try to get extra possession? So we're a little bit more on the let's get back, let's get our defense set and not let teams get easy baskets in transition. The bigger we get, the more athletic we get, we may send more people to the glass and try to get second chance, but it's kind of a battle there of which one do you want to be better at. If you send too many people to the glass, a lot of times it's easy to give up points in transition, and we want to eliminate that.
First two games of the year this weekend at Northeastern and at Rogers. So you get two games plus the longest road trip out of the way. So that's to feel good.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to get on the bus and get down the road a little bit because, you know, we don't really home, office, repeat is kind of pretty much all it's been for me. And the good thing is my wife's a really good cook, so I haven't really missed out on the restaurants.
That's good. So. All right. Well, Austin, appreciate you coming on and look forward to see you again on Thursday.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
Austin Meyer, Northwest Missouri State head women's basketball coach. We will take a break and be back with more on KXCV KRNW.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanware as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Sugargrove Plant Food Company in Forest City. Locally owned and operated, Sugargrove has provided the region with fertilizer, chemicals, and other farm supplies since 1951. More information on Sugargrove products and services at 660-446-3376.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Clarinda Regional Health Center, open 7 to 7 daily. Appointments can be requested online, and 24-hour call-in scheduling is available. The walk-in clinic is also open from 8 to noon Saturdays. Appointment information at clarindahealth.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911. We're in office at 102 North Buchanan.
Support for the Bearcats comes from the Bearcat Bookstore and the J.W. Jones Student Union. The bookstore supplies Bearcat apparel for men, women, and kids, as well as gifts, accessories, and Northwest logo items. More at nwmissouri.bncollege.com.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're talking now with Nick Gibson, the head coach of the Northwest Cross Country team. And Nick, your women had a chance to go down to Texas. You're hoping to get the men down there as well, but COVID kind of stepped up and had a little bit of a decision in that as well. I know last week when we talked to you on the show that you thought that might be the case, but just unfortunate you couldn't get the men and women both down there.
Yeah, it definitely was a little disappointing for the men. I mean, obviously, you know, we had the great finish last year and, you know, looking to go down there and have a similar finish or better finish than we did. But unfortunately, you know, COVID is something that we can't control and just have to do what we can to mitigate it. But the girls ended up doing really well. So, I mean, that's obviously a plus. And so hopefully next year we get both of them at the same meet at the same time and have the same results.
Again, competing in the Division II Cross Country National Invitational down in Lubbock, Texas, and a third place finish for the Northwest women's team down there. And I guess it was a battle of the elements to a large degree there with the wind that really hit that day.
Yeah, I mean, that really was. I mean, after watching the guys go first, I went up to the ladies. I was just like, be more conservative early on. I was like, I watched the guys, especially Nebraska Kearney, their men's team. They, you know, they took it out in the lead, and then they fell apart. And so I was like, you know, let's just not do the same thing. You know, let's be a little bit more conservative and work through up the race. And that's exactly what the ladies did. And, you know, it worked out in the end, and they ran really well because of it.
Yeah, I guess you really have to take in consideration, I mean, cross country in particular, just the elements on how you run a race. And with that type of wind, just really, I guess, changes everything.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially there's some really long straights they had, and you're running straight into a headwind and, you know, 20, 30 mile an hour consistent winds, definitely not easy to fight through. So, I mean, that's what, you know, kind of just like, you know, maybe draft behind someone, let them use the work. And then whenever you get the wind at your back on the other side, then, you know, try to open up and try to put a little bit of distance between you and that person. And then, you know, that's what most of them did. And, you know, they ended up running well. I mean, obviously times weren't as fast as we wanted to, but, you know, in the championship type of race, it doesn't matter what your time is. It matters where you finish.
And a lot of people talk about the winds in Maryville and how rough that can be at times, but I guess this was something that not even compared to that.
I mean, we've had those days up here, but it's definitely, you know, here and there, you know, with them. But yeah, this is definitely the windiest meet that, you know, I've ever been to or ever, you know, seen at a, you know, at a championship race, at least.
Well, you had three of your girls finishing the top 10. You have to feel good about that.
Yeah, I mean, that was great. I mean, now, you know, hopefully, you know, it was a good learning experience for them. I mean, we don't lose anybody from that team, you know, so that's really exciting. So hopefully, you know, it was a good experience for them to learn. And, you know, coming into next year, it's like, okay, the freshmen, they can, you know, maybe take a bigger leap like some of the other ones did and, you know, close the gap between our, you know, three, four, and five. And, you know, that'll help our team score out a lot and, you know, hopefully then improve our finish as a team too.
Caroline Cunningham finishing fourth. Amber Owens, a seventh-place finish, and Delaney Dykes, an eighth-place finish. Of course, Delaney had that great performance in the regional to get down there. And again, you have to feel good about the way they were able to handle the elements.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Caroline went out a little more conservative than, you know, Delaney, you know, tried to go up towards the front and, you know, definitely hurt her in the end. But, I mean, she still fought and, you know, stuck with it really well. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things, you know, once Amber caught up to them, you know, they just kind of worked together and, you know, definitely she was fighting a lot harder than she did the last weekend. But, I mean, at the end of the day, she, you know, got the job done and, you know, finished in the top 10, which is, you know, a really great finish for her, especially with this is her third ever cross country race. So it's like she's still learning and figuring out how to really run cross country.
Just such a strange season. Normally you have a number of meets that you take your team at two, but only had an opportunity for two for the women and one for the men this year. I imagine a lot of training went into just these two events.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was. I mean, obviously we had the highs and lows of like, okay, NCAA's canceled. Okay, we still have conference, and then conference is canceled. You know, then we were just like, okay, now we're allowed to compete, so we're going to have our, you know, own, you know, pseudo conference meet, you know, which, you know, just the highs and lows of dealing with it, you know, we're definitely tough and on everyone. But, you know, the ladies were really good mentally and, you know, they put in the work and, you know, just kept putting in and day out, you know, because at the end of the day, they knew that, you know, eventually they're going to be able to compete and the work that they're putting in now is going to pay off. And, you know, luckily they were able to show some of the work that they had put in over the summer and the quarantine part, you know, this fall. So, you know, just another thing to look forward to whenever we get the race again. It's like, okay, how much more could we improve, you know, the following year?
Yeah, I would imagine just a great experience and giving the girls a taste of success this year will really help in the off season as they prepare.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I mean, obviously, you know, we didn't win, so, you know, there's still that little bit of, you know, fire that's like, okay, we still can do better to, you know, to get up higher and place higher. You know, and I think, you know, them placing third at, you know, a semi-national meet, you know, really helps them to be like, okay, we can do something special and, you know, hopefully come home with one of those bigger NCAA trophies. You know, that's the ultimate goal.
Well, what's next for your team now is the transition to the next season down the line?
Yeah, right now we're going to take a little bit of a downtime, you know, give them a couple of days off, some lower mileage, and then we're going to, you know, start getting ready for indoors, which, you know, our first meet back is, I believe, around January 16th or 15th. So, you know, just trying to get them ready for the indoor season, and then, you know, as long as we have it. I mean, who knows with everything going on? I mean, that may get canceled, but, you know, we're hopeful, and, you know, we haven't gotten any indication that it would be right now. So that's what we're really getting ready for is the indoor season, you know, and try to continue our success from the cross course onto the track.
All right, Nick, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks.
Again, Nick Gibson with us, head cross country coach at Northwest Missouri State. We'll be back and have more on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show right after this timeout.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Pitsenberger Auto Body in Maryville, providing auto collision repair and taking the dents out of accidents. Pitsenberger's also installs Ultimate Truck Bedliners. More at 660-582-4599 or pitsautobody.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank, celebrating more than 150 years of service to Northwest Missouri. More information on location or at nvb.com. Member FDIC.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Rogers Pharmacy in Maryville, St. Joe, Mound City, and Tarkio. The Rogers family has been providing Northwest Missouri families with pharmacy services, medical supplies, and home medical equipment since 1967. More online at rogersrx.com. Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanwear as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Delbert's Garage at 714 North Depot in Maryville. Delbert and his team handle car and truck repairs from brakes and air conditioners to replacing engines and transmissions. More at 660-562-0025.
Support for the Bearcat Coaches Show on KXCV comes from Pizza Ranch at US 71 and 1st Street in Maryville. Pizza Ranch's buffet is open daily and features pizza and fried chicken with all the trimmings, plus a salad bar with dessert and ice cream. More in store at pizzaranch.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, joined now by the head coach of the Bearcat men's basketball team, Ben McCollum. And Ben, since we talked last, a little bit of change in your schedule with the Northeastern State game having to be moved back to New Year's Eve day due to COVID-19.
Yeah, no doubt.
Siri trying to break in.
Yeah, Siri just said, yeah, Steve. Okay, anyway, so, yeah, no, we changed to Rogers State on Saturday. Northeastern State's obviously canceled.
And so, you know, we'll be ready for Roger State. It'll give us an extra day to make sure that we are prepared and obviously get everybody healthy, get them to a high level, and hopefully be ready to play.
Kind of have to be ready for anything this season.
I think so. I think that's the team that's going to win the league is the team that can stay present and not worry about things that they cannot control. You know, if you have six, seven guys, show up and play. Doesn't matter which six or seven.
When you look at your roster and such an experienced group this year, is that something that you feel is an advantage against maybe some other teams that may have had some different some transfers and different things coming in, or a young team, or you've got a group that's been together so long and is can kind of roll with the flow just a little bit?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to see when the season gets here. I would think that that would help us, but I really don't know. We'll find out on Saturday.
Yeah, I guess just so many unknowns going into this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and that's where you got to make sure that you're able to adapt to things and try to maintain a level of hunger. And that's the hardest part is every other day you think that your season's going to be canceled. You know, the Ivy League just canceled theirs and some states have shut down. And you just can't worry about that stuff. You have to just focus on today and compete today.
Well, I guess one thing, too, with the change in the schedule with Northeastern State, who doesn't want to spend New Year's Eve in Tahlequah, Oklahoma?
I do. It's beautiful that time of year, I think. You know, I think that, we could party on the way home, John, me and you. That'll be good.
Sounds
bring in the New Year's right.
Yeah, that's right.
We can watch the ball drop or whatever it is and everything. It'll be fantastic. Stay COVID-free.
There you go. Yep. There you go. How do you feel the team is right now as you go into this first week of the season?
Hopefully good. We scrimmaged okay. Had a lot of little just come-on mistakes, like why would we do that? Some slippage in regards to that. So I think okay. Again, we'll find out on Saturday.
And with Rogers State, a team last year that came in, they were a very physical team. And, again, you'll know more about them after Thursday night, a chance to scout them a bit. But you anticipate that they're going to be that same type of team, very physical squad?
I would guess so. Yeah, they're physical. They get after you defensively pretty good. Offensively, they'll run a lot of different sets, but mostly back to some type of either side ball screen or high ball screen. It'll be a very difficult test first game.
I mean, that's one thing with your team last year. You were able to handle the physicality of teams very well, I thought.
I think so. I mean, I think this year will be even more physical, I'm hoping. But, you know, we'll find out when a team gets physical with us.
And talking with a little bit earlier, talking with Ryan Hawkins, he really is excited about what he's seen out of this group. Not only talked a little bit about the freshmen coming in and what they've added to the program as well, he really likes the makeup of this year's team.
We do have quite a bit of depth. You know, I've always thought that depth isn't that exciting. I think this year it is because of COVID, because there'll probably be guys that sit out of games. You know, whether it's with COVID or quarantines or whatnot. So I think this year depth is a good thing. I think a lot of other years, I'm not sold that depth is a great thing, only because then you're playing 9-10 guys and no one can really get in a rhythm. So, but those guys are doing great. Our freshmen, they're competing every day. And then our upperclassmen are as well.
I feel like freshmen really have picked up what they need to pick up at this point coming into the year.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'd like them to be more consistent like I would any freshman, but in regards to the physicality and the effort things, when they're turned on, I mean they're pretty good. It's just a matter of making sure that we get them to that level every day.
Overall, when you look at this group, what can the fans expect to see out of Northwest Missouri State this year?
A team that'll fight and compete like we always do. You know, offensively, we'll hopefully be solid. Defensively is what we hang our hat on. Hopefully, we compete there. But I don't really know. I mean, we play hard. That's probably about it. You know, man, that's results. I'm more process. So hopefully, a good team.
Well, I'll tell you, the process has been pretty good the last few years. That's for sure.
So far, so good. So far, so good. So we'll hopefully have it again this year.
All right, Ben, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks a lot, John.
As we wrap things up with Matt Tritton, I'm John Coffey, and Matt, Our schedule a little bit different than what we anticipated on Thursday, with it just being a single game as the Northwest women set to open up their season in Tahlequah with Northeastern State. And then the men and women will be together on Saturday in Claremore, Oklahoma, as they take on Rogers State Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, it's exciting to finally have basketball come back, getting the seasons underway. Unfortunately, due to some cases with Northeastern State, the men will have to wait a couple more days for their season opener. But regardless, hopping in the van, heading down, it'll be exciting to be back on the sideline next year there, John.
Yeah, it certainly will. We'll have all that for you right here on KXCV, KRNW. And that'll do it for this week's show. For Matt Trenton, I'm John Coffey, and we'll be back with you again next Tuesday.